Jesus. It feels good in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may return to your seats.
If it's okay with you, I'm just going to stand down here today. I'm going to do further teaching, so I like to stand down here. That's all right. So as you know, Pastor Anthony and our daughter Haley is in Africa, and I will just tell you that things are going awesome. God is moving, and lives are being touched and changed. So we thank God for that. That's what we prayed for, and we thank God for that. And in his absence, he has asked me to continue on in 1 Peter. All right? And as Pastor's been telling us, if you've missed a week or you haven't been here at all for the series, you're not going to not understand what we're talking about today. This message will stand alone. But we do encourage you, if you've missed a lesson or you haven't heard any of it at all, to go online and listen to it. You will be blessed. So we're going to move on to chapter 3, but, and everybody say, we made it. Finally, right? I tease my husband every week because, you know, as you know, he gets up here and he has great hopes to make it through many verses, and he doesn't really make it through all of his verses like he studied for. And so I tease him every week about only finishing a couple or a few verses. And I tell him, babe, just hit the high points. If you just hit the high points, you're gonna go through all of those verses. And let me tell you, as I was digging into the portion of scriptures that he gave me, 7 to be in fact, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. And I talked to him yesterday, and I confessed to him, and I told him, babe, this is so hard. And he started laughing, and I asked him, I said, well, what if I don't get done today, like with the verses that you gave me? I said, maybe I can just finish up next Thursday when you're home. And he quickly answered, he said, no. He said, you finished today. He said, just hit the high points. And I was like, you're a smart aleck. Good thing you're in Africa. So, we're gonna hit the high points, but there's a lot of high points in 7 verses. So, you're going to have to hold on and go with me, all right? So, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7 says, and I'm just going to read through it all, and then we're going to cut it up, all right? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm not really sure how I feel about him giving me these verses. I said, really? You're saving this for me? So I don't know if it was just because he didn't want to be the one standing up here teaching on it because he thought I might be shooting daggers at him or something, or if he thought I needed to teach it because he thought I needed greater knowledge and understanding on how to be a better submitted wife, or maybe he just thought I'm so submitted that I would do awesome at this. So that's the one I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with he thinks I'm just a submitted wife. I'm just teasing. I hope you all know that. Before we go into the verses, I just want to say, if you're here today and you're married, then you're definitely going to glean from the word. If you're here today and you're single, you too are going to be able to glean from the word. So don't tune me out, okay? Just listen to what I have to say, all right? All right, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The scripture here begins with the word likewise. And this word means equally, in the same way, or similar to. So the Apostle Peter had just got done explaining the importance of submission to those that have rule over us in chapter 2, which we learned about last week. And he alluded to those that rule over the land, kingdoms and governors. And in our day and age, that would be people such as presidents, judges, police officers, which Pastor Anthony talked about last week. People in authority along these lines. And then Peter went on to make reference to servants submitting to their masters, which we could relate to our bosses or our managers on our jobs. So in our passage of scripture this morning, Peter is basically saying, similar to what he just spoke to us about, you wives be in subjection or submission to your own husbands. Wives, don't take off running. I know you want to. We might see a man run around here in just a minute, but ladies, this is why we hear the word, or why is it that when we hear the words husband, wives, submission, when we hear those words together, why is it that we get like this feeling? It's like this heaviness that just comes on us, this darkness, this cloud, and we can't see around it. When we hear that word, we're just like, ugh, you know? I believe that it's because society has attached a stigma to this principle that causes women to feel as though if they submit to a man, then they're automatically going to be pushed down, held back, or they're going to feel less than who they are. And I would like to just ask you to consider today that your husband has been appointed by God, the head and ruler of your house. Ephesians 5 and 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. It says, as unto the Lord. If we could just realize when we submit to our husband, we're doing it unto the Lord. Then I believe the stigma or the lie that is attached to submitting to them, it would leave our minds. And submission to them would become more of a desire to please God than a duty to man. Not saying that it would be easy, because we're all still flesh, right? And you can be submitted to your husband and still struggle. Or you can be submitted to your husband and still struggle in that area just simply because you're flesh. And submission and flesh, they don't go together well, right? But that's why we have to keep our flesh crucified. I believe that we would begin to look for ways to honor our husbands. Ladies, don't let the mindset of society dictate how you honor, serve, or help your husband. It is okay to do things for your husband and take care of him. It does not make you less of a woman. After all, the Bible lets us know the reason we were created was to help him. Genesis 2, 18 and verse 21 through 22. Verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. A helpmeet. That's what God said. That's what he called us. Verse 21 through 22 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. We have to be careful and guard our minds from worldly mindsets. If we don't, then those mindsets creep into the church. They creep into the church and they keep us from fulfilling God's desires and purpose for our own personal lives. Ladies, we were created from man for man. All right? Not for our own selves, but for man. I want to move on to Ephesians 5, 23 through 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is the way God set it up. This is the order in which God set it up. Christ, man, woman. This wasn't a man's idea. It was God's idea. By submitting to our husband, we are submitting to God's plan and order of the family. When we walk in obedience and submission to our husband, our marriages can and will be blessed. When we choose not to submit, it is very possible that we will find our marriages are struggling. So if you're here today and you're struggling in your marriage, take a look inside. Are you walking in submission? Are you in the proper order that God has placed you in? Submission equals blessing. In our original text, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2 says, and you can just leave that verse up for a minute. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And that doesn't mean you should have many husbands, okay? To your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear. And I want to just point out a few things about this scripture. First, it says to your own husbands. Now, that's pretty explanatory, self-explanatory, right? To our own husband, not someone else's. We're to submit to them. Except for, I want you to think about something. Maybe you're here today and your husband is not saved. Or maybe your husband isn't where he needs to be spiritually himself. The way God has set it up, our husband is to lead us, right? He's supposed to be the head of our home. So he's supposed to lead us. If your husband isn't saved or he's not where he needs to be spiritually, then you can't really go to him about spiritual things and look for direction from him, correct? Correct. So if we can't go to him and talk to him about spiritual things and allow him to lead our lives, then who are we going to go to? Right? Pastor. Or you might look to other pillars in the church. Quite possibly some of them are male, correct? You might look to a male figure in the church who is spiritual for direction or counsel. I want to caution you, okay? And just hear me out. Don't tune me out. Hear me out. Be careful. Be careful how heavily you lean on spiritual male figures. I would encourage you to seek counsel and wisdom from some of your spiritually minded sisters in the Lord. Not that you can't seek wisdom from male pillars in the church. There just needs to be proper and healthy boundaries set in that area. Amen? If we don't, then we're leaving place for the enemy. And what I mean by this is we may set out to seek wisdom from them, and then subconsciously we realize that they are fulfilling an area that our own husbands are not fulfilling. And then what happens? Stuff gets twisted. You're right. There's an attachment that's made. There's an attachment that's made between them and that person. And in most cases, maybe it's made unknowingly or innocently, but still yet, there's an attachment. If proper boundaries are not set, then that attachment can quite possibly open a door for the enemy. The enemy is sly, and you know where that's going next, right? You don't have to have adultery sexually. You can have adultery in your mind and in your emotions. I just want to throw that out there to you, okay? So we must set proper boundaries, okay? So I encourage you, ladies, don't just look to the men. There are godly, spiritual women in this church that can help you with your issues. Amen? Can everybody say it? Amen. Now, I don't want you to leave and say, or go to pastor and say, Sister Michelle said I can't talk to you or any other men in this church. Okay? If I hear those words come out of somebody's mouth, I'm coming for you. That's not at all what I'm saying, okay? We just have to be careful that we leave no place for the devil. None. All right. So our scripture tells us to submit to our own husband. Then it goes on to say that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. This is talking about an unsaved husband. Whether your husband is saved or unsaved, submission is still God's plan. It's still God's plan. Marriage brings a man and a woman together in God's eyes, and his plan of submission in marriage does not change according to whether they're saved or not. The scripture here is telling us that an unsaved husband can be saved without the word, simply by the wife's chaste conversation coupled with fear. And you say, what in the world does that mean? I want to point out the biblical meaning of a few words here in that phrase, okay? The first word being chaste, okay? It means exciting reverence, pure from carnality, modest, pure from every fault, immaculate, and clean. That's some pretty high orders, huh? Second, conversation. You'd think that's what we say, right? The words that come out of our mouth. It's not. Not just that. All right? Conversation here is meaning our manner of life, our conduct, or our behavior. Okay? And our speech is included in that. But it's our behavior, not just what we say. And the word fear, as you might know, means reverence. So, ladies, it's our behavior, the way we talk and carry ourselves, that our husbands are watching and taking note of, saved or unsaved. And might I just add here, too, if you're not married and you want to be, just know the same goes for you, too, ladies. All right? Young men and older men alike are looking and watching for a wife that lives a life that models these things. It is important how we act, how we react, how we talk, how we carry ourselves, and how we dress. Amen. Amen. I'll just say, if a man is looking for a wife, he's not looking for a wife that is loud, obnoxious, seductive, and the list could go on. You could fill in the blanks. A man is not looking for that. Okay? So Peter is telling wives of unbelieving husbands that their chaste behavior or their pure, humble, submitted, modest spirit has the power to change the heart of their husband toward the Lord. We've all heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. What we are is more important than what we say. The life we live before people, that is our best sermon. We can preach to people all day long, but if the life we live before them does not match up, then you're not preaching a very good sermon. All right? So the life you live is your best sermon. All right, so along with our chaste conversation coupled with fear, Peter goes on to give wives further instruction. You ready? 1 Peter 3, through 4. Or 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, a little history here. The plaiting of hair was commonly used in biblical times by sexually crude women, okay? And plaiting of hair is referring to, like, elaborate braids, you know, woven with gold to bring attention to their head, okay? So that was typically used in the Bible time by sexually crude women. Wearing of gold or ornaments made of gold. Now, this was practiced by Rebecca and Esther and other religious women, but afterwards became the attire mainly of harlots and wicked people. And when it talks about putting on of apparel, it's not saying no, don't wear apparel. Okay, let's get that straight. It's referring to excessive and costly clothing that draws attention to you. All right? So the outward adorning of the body is very often sensual and excessive in our world today. Would you agree? All right. Everywhere you look, you see a woman on a billboard or in an ad. What do you see? Something sexual or sensual, correct? They've painted a very sensual picture of a woman in our world today. So I want to ask you, when you get up and get dressed in the morning, maybe you should ask yourself things like this. Is what I'm wearing, does it make me feel prideful? Now, there's a difference in being confident and being prideful. You can be a confident woman feeling good about who you are because God has given you that revelation. But pride is like, I look good. And you get a walk about yourself that you look good. And everybody around you knows that you think you look good, right? All right? You could ask yourself, is what I'm wearing, is it too tight in all the right areas and draw attention to my body? Ask yourself that. Why are you dressing like that? What's the purpose? Right? If we have a husband or we're looking for a husband, I can guarantee you your husband doesn't want you allowing every other man on the street to check you out in all those areas, right? And if you're single and looking for a husband, he might look at you in that way at first, but when he's ready to settle down, he's not going to go to you. He's going to look for a woman that's carrying herself modestly, who respects herself enough that she doesn't have to show off everything to everybody, right? If you can't drop a quarter in your clothes and it fall out at the bottom, it's too tight. And that comes from Sister Rachel Calthorpe. You've probably heard her say that, right? All right. So if you can answer yes to any of these, then wouldn't you agree that your choice of apparel would not be that of a chaste conversation coupled with fear? Right. The word of the Lord rather instructs us what we should be concerned with. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Our state and well-being of our inner person or heart needs to be top priority in our lives. And oftentimes, it's in the middle or at the bottom. We're more concerned with the way we look than what our heart looks like. Because what we look like is what people can see. What people see is how they judge us, how good we're doing. They can't see our heart. That's why it says the hidden. It's hidden. Nobody can see that, but we know. We know. All right? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to make sure that we are taking care of our heart and filling it with godly things that are not corruptible. things that won't fade away like those of the outward man. We can look the part and seem as though we got it all together, that we are the perfect wife, and yet our hearts are full of vanity, pride, selfishness, anger. The list could go on and on, right? You know where your heart's at. Or we can tend to our heart and make sure that it is full of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." That's what needs to be in our heart. And when those things are in our heart, then there's no room for those other things. Nor do you want to have those other things in your heart. When you allow the things of God to take up residence in your heart, it pushes those things out and you seek for more of God. Amen? 1 Peter 3 and 4 tells us if we will do this, then in the sight of God we are found precious or of great price. We're precious in His sight. We're valuable if we will do this. Peter lets us know in verses 5 and 6, if you'll put those up there, that everything that was just instructed to the wives was nothing new. It's not a new thing that he was telling them. It's not something that he just came up with and wanted them to start doing. The scripture says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves," or that word adorned means to put themselves in proper order, "being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Holy women long ago have been submitting to their husbands as God ordained. It's nothing new today. It's been happening for years and years and years. The way of life, in fact, back then, I'm sure was much more strenuous and taxing on their bodies. They didn't have the conveniences that we have today. They had to grow their food. They had to tend to their food. They didn't have a car that could take them to the grocery store in 2 seconds to get what they needed for dinner. Their life was a little more complex than what our life is today. And yet, the wife still cared for the home, the children, her daily duties, and she honored and served her husband. Honored and served her husband. Now, please don't put in your mind that I'm thinking that you have to put on, you know, this little maid hat and walk around saying, "How can I serve you? How can I serve you? What can I do? What do you need?" That's not at all what I'm saying, all right? But you are his helpmeet. That's what you were created for. That's the most important job that you will ever, ever have. If you can't fulfill that role, then everything else that you're doing, I can't say that it's maybe important. Or I'm sure God can bless it, but I know he can bless it, but I would have to think that he's saying, my dear sister, I first called you to be a helpmeet to your husband. You need to get that in right order, because if everything is not in right order, then everything else underneath it kind of gets jumbled up, and that could be why maybe you're feeling stressed, or you don't feel like you can do everything that you're supposed to do, or every time your husband asks you to do something, it's a drudgery to you, or you're like, why is this man asking me this? I shouldn't have to do this. Does he not see that I need help? That's the way society thinks, okay?
You'll hear that a lot from women today, and I'm one of them, okay? I'm not getting up here just coming down on everybody. I'm one of them, and I have to catch myself sometimes because, you know, I'm busy too, and I got things to do and all of that, and sometimes my husband will ask me to do something, and I'm like, yes. You know, so I have to catch myself too. We can't get so busy that we don't tend to our first priority. Okay, we've got to take care of our home, our family, our children, and help and serve our husbands. We can't get bogged down with everything that we have to do, okay? We can't become a complainer about everything that we have to do and shove off our responsibility that God ordained for us, okay? It is the most important job that you will ever do if you don't do anything else. If you do that one thing, your entire life will be blessed. Your entire life will be blessed. Because when things are in proper order, God can pour in. But if things are jumbled up and out of place, when God's pouring, it don't reach every area. So you've got to make sure that everything is in alignment so that God can pour in and bless. Submission equals blessing. Amen? All right. And last but not least, men. You thought you were going to get away, didn't you? You're not. You're not going to get away. And the women can take a breath for a second, all right? All right. I got to hurry. We got just a few minutes. All right, 1 Peter 3 and 7, and you can leave that verse up there, Brother John. Likewise, like I've said in previously, or similar to, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right, so let's break that scripture down. It says, husbands, dwell with them. All right, the words dwell with is talking not only as a family, but together sexually and conversationally. Okay, so dwell with your wife in these areas. Men, your wife needs you to be present. Not just in body, but in mind and emotion in the home. Now, I realize most of you go and you work a job and it's maybe stressful and taxing on your mind, or the things that you do throughout the day, they wear you down, and you're just like, when the wife comes in and you're just ready to, you're done, you want to be quiet, you don't want to talk. I know a woman speaks so many more words than a man a day. I know that. I've heard all of that. All right? My husband just kind of looks at me and gives me a sweet little smile sometimes, like, And I know what he's thinking, but he listens. All right? So I know that you feel those feelings, but your wife needs you. The Bible tells you that you are to dwell with them. Okay? So you can't just dwell in body, all right? You got to dwell together in the family, emotionally, mentally, sexually, and conversationally, all right? She needs you to interact with her, talk to her, show interest in the things that interest her. Now, I realize most things that interest women do not interest men, okay? And the same is for the women and the men. Most things that interest men do not interest women, okay? And I believe this could go both ways. But she needs you to be interested. She needs you to be interested in what she's currently doing. She needs you to be interested in what she likes, you know? And I'm just going to throw that out there because I think my husband might listen. You need to be intently listening on the things that she likes. So then when it comes time for, like, Valentine's Day and birthday and Christmas, you already know what she's wanting. Because when you ask her, she's going to say, oh,
I don't care. I don't know. You don't have to get me anything, right?
We've all done it. We've all said it, but in the back of our mind, we're like, I'd like to have an hour and a half massage, and I'd like to have a new pair of shoes, and but you don't want to say it because you're like, man, that would be so selfish, right? So men, be attentive. Be attentive to your wife. She needs you to,
she needs you.
She needs your physical presence. Your physical presence is not enough. Got myself all flustered up thinking about all the things I wanted. Hope you're listening, babe. All right. Your physical presence is not enough, even though it is necessary. Your wife needs you to not only care for her and take care of the family physically and financially, she needs you to be there relationally in both conversation and sexually. As a husband, it is your duty to dwell with her in these ways. The Bible then instructs you to dwell with her according to knowledge. Not according to lust, not according to passion, but according to knowledge. As wise and sensible men who know the Word of God and their personal responsibility to their wife and to their family. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Men, it is your duty to know the Word of God, to know what is required. God has ordained you to lead your home. How can you lead your wife and your family if you don't know the Word of God? If you don't know what God is asking of you and requiring of you, there's no way in this world that you can lead your family or your wife. So I encourage you to dig into the Word every day. Ask God before you read it. Maybe you struggle when you read the Word of God to understand it. Maybe you struggle to understand it, therefore it's like, why bother? I'll just hear the next sermon. I'll let Pastor Anthony give me direction. That's not going to work, okay? That's not going to work. I encourage you, before you read the Word of God, I do this every morning before I read the Word of God. I pray and I ask God to open my eyes to see, my ears to hear, and my mind to understand what the Word of the Lord wants to speak to me that day, because it is the living Word of God, and God desires to speak to us. So if we're desiring for it to speak to us, He will. And He's not going to speak to you in such a way that you can't understand, like, thus and thou. Okay? He's going to speak to you so that you can apply what you're reading into your everyday life. Amen. All right. Ask God to give you wisdom to lead your family, and He will do it. He will do it when you're praying, and He will do it when you're reading your Word. All right. The next portion of the scripture says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, I've heard this said, well, my dad jokes even and says to my stepmom, like, oh, you're the weaker vessel. I had to give you one of my ribs, you know, like, I've heard all the jokes, okay? It does not mean that you are lesser of a person just because you're a woman. That's not at all what the scripture is saying, okay? I just want to say that first. Giving honor to your husband is to respect, or giving honor to your wife, rather. Oof. Got to change that, is to respect her, show her she is valuable, protect her. She needs to feel protected. That's something that a woman needs because she is the weaker vessel. She needs to feel protected. Provide for her, okay? She is the weaker vessel, and that's not to say she can't go out and make money and help provide for the home, but she needs you as the man to step it up. You're the one that's supposed to lead the family, and she needs you to provide for the family. She needs to feel that you're putting forth an effort to provide for the family. And that's not just financially either, okay? Although it is, okay? It is financially. She needs you to provide and support the family. But she needs you to provide for her emotionally and physically as well, all right? Support her and be interested in her.
Ephesians 5 and 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Men, lay aside selfishness and love your wife as Christ loved the church. He gave everything. He gave it all for the church. God is requiring you to lay aside your selfishness and be willing to give everything for your wife. And I think you know what I'm saying with that. All right. 11:23. Boy, I did good. Seven verses. Ah, that was awesome. All right. So stand with me. I want to finish up. All right. 1 Peter 3 and 7. "And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." This is so important. Everything that I just taught about today is not only important for relationships between husbands and wives, but also our relationship with God. If you think that your relationship with your spouse has nothing to do with your relationship with God, you are dead wrong. Okay? This verse specifically shows us that our prayers to the Lord are greatly hindered and even unacceptable to God if our relationship with our spouse is not right. This is why the enemy fights our marriages so much. He fights hard at marriages, and he understands that if a marriage is in proper alignment, the way God ordained, then God can flow through that marriage. God can bless that marriage. God can use that union the way he wants to use it. He can't use a marriage union that is divided or not in order, okay? So if a man isn't providing for the woman, if he's not fulfilling his roles, or the woman's trying to step out and take charge and be the leader, you're not in alignment, so God therefore can't pour in. Your prayers are hindered. That's what the word says, all right? So, the enemy fights us so hard because he understands these things. He knows if he can bring division in the marriage, then he can bring division between them and God. That's why it's essential to be obedient to what the Word of God has taught us today. Whether you're married today or you will be someday, I want us to take a few minutes and I want us to ask the Lord to speak to us. We've heard a lot of meat in the Word today. And I know that probably something that I said today jumped out to you and resonated with your spirit. So I want us to take a few minutes, and I want us to pray, and I want us to ask the Lord to speak to us concerning the word. So I want us to lift our hands, and I want you to begin to lift your voice. If your spouse is next to you, I'd like for you to stand with your spouse, all right? I want you to begin to ask the Lord to search your heart and to allow the Word of God to show you areas in your own life that you need to do differently, that you need to change. And then as a married couple, after you've done that, I want you to ask the Lord to help you to be united, to walk in your role as God has called you to walk, so that His blessing can be poured out on you and through you, okay? Lord, search us today, God. Search us today, God. I pray that your word would search our hearts, Lord. God, oftentimes we find ourselves trying to make sure that we look the part, God, and that we act the part in front of people because we don't want people to think wrongly of us or think that we're not what we should be, God. I pray that the power of your word that has went forth today, God, would pierce our hearts, God. I pray that you would reveal to us, Lord, reveal to us areas in our heart that we need to change. God, help us, Lord. Help us to do this, God. Give us, Lord, strength, God, to lay aside those things, God, to lay aside selfishness, God. Help us in our flesh, God, to have the strength, Lord, God, to crucify those things, God. God, I pray that you will help us, Lord, in return, God, to fill our hearts, God, and allow your spirit, God, to fill our hearts with your love.
Fill our hearts with your love, God, because your love is patient. Your love is kind. Your love is not selfish, God. God, I pray that you will minister to us today through your word, Lord. I pray that you will touch us today through your word. I pray that you will strengthen every marriage union here today, God. I pray that if there are marriages in this place, God, that are not in proper order, I pray, God, that the word of God that has went forth today, God, will change that, Lord, and that from this day forward, God, that they will line up to your word, God, and allow your spirit to flow through them, Lord. And God, I pray for those that are single in this place today. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to their hearts, God. God, that the word that they heard in this place today, that they will take it and that they will hold on to it, Lord. That they will apply it to their lives, God, and that they will allow it, God, to shape them and mold them, Lord. Because you have purposed their life from the very beginning, God. You know their end from their beginning, Lord. You know who their future spouse is going to be, God, and you have them in the waiting. And God, they may not be here right now when they want them to be, Lord, but they're in the waiting. And God, I pray that you will help them, Lord, to become the women of God that you have called them to be, the men of God that you have called them to be, Lord. I pray that they will see themselves as you see them, God, and that they will conduct themselves as you desire them to do so, Lord. God, I pray that your word will be embedded in our spirits today, Lord, that it will change us and that it will become who we are, Lord. We ask these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen to the word. Amen.